Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Here we are, 1 week closer to the first official set of college football playoff rankings, hitting us square in the face, just a little bit more than a week away from that. Some massive SEC matchups to talk about today. Plenty to get into alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. Welcome in to BetMGMU. Always with you in podcast form, wherever you get your podcast, search BetMGMU. And of course, on YouTube, just search for the BetMGM Network. You can watch the show as well. For example, we got national championship odds on the sidebar right now. Everything you need to know to get you ready for the college football slate we are going to dive into. But first, we take a look back at last week, because it wouldn't be a week in college football if we didn't have some upsets. And it got started on Friday night, John. Number 2, Miami, upset by Louisville as 12.5-point favorites at home at the U. Louisville plus 425 on the money line cashes for those that had it. We also had Texas Tech getting upset against Arizona State, another one on the road. We'll talk about the effect of being on the road maybe when we get to some of those SEC games later, but clearly it had a big effect. Notre Dame ends up pulling away from USC late. As far as teams that we might consider on the periphery of the playoff conversation. But let's start with the two upsets, John. Miami losing to Louisville, Texas Tech losing to Arizona State. Miami's still in a decent spot, minus 300 to make the playoff. Tech, minus 165, so still favored to make the playoff. But we know that Big 12, probably a one-bid league, to use some March Madness terminology. It's thrown a little bit of shuffle into that top of the Big 12. And for that matter, we could probably talk about the top of the ACC as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really moved by much of anything in the Big 12. I just look up and down that league and, you know, I'm just not really convinced about anybody. I mean, I guess maybe you want to say Texas Tech just cause you know, they have the money, but, you know, quarterback's got injury problems. He left the game last week. So, I just don't really see anybody in that league that I'm interested in at all or that I take seriously. And then in the ACC, you know, it's sort of the same thing. I mean, Miami, what a disappointment. Jeff Brohm's a great coach. So I think in some ways it's maybe not that surprising. You know, I think when you diagnose what Miami has been doing this year, I mean, how many times has Carson Beck gotten bailed out this year? By his receivers. I mean, I think about that Notre Dame game. He was throwing that ball up for grabs, and his receivers came down with it in the first week. They did not come down with it, obviously, on whatever was it, Friday night? I can't remember. But, yeah, it was a disastrous performance by Carson Beck, and he's kind of been flirting with that performance all year long, and it finally showed up.
Yeah, he's flirted with it like his entire college career. It seemed like to avoid him this year, and that was a credit to him, and that's one of the reasons why they got up to such a hot start. But yeah, I'm not trusting a whole lot of teams, and you know, the thing with Texas Tech is that, you know, they've got the they are the blue chips roster from the movie. It's Shaq and Penny Hardaway. They're the roster of blue chips, right? That's exactly what they are. But the reality is that you still got to go out and win these games, and road games have been tough. Road games have been tough all year. Arizona State, you know, they lost to Arizona State. They were unranked, but remember, they were like, what, top 12 to start the year? And yeah, a weird loss at Mississippi State, which out of nowhere, but that's still a talented football team. And you know, it may not be the greatest environment. It may not be LSU at night, but it's still a road game.
What's interesting about the top of the ACC, at least, is you've still got three teams that are undefeated in conference and one team that's undefeated overall. You got Georgia Tech, number 7 in the country. Now, one of those other undefeated teams in the ACC conference is Virginia, who, oh, by the way, this is going to be a common theme this weekend, is on the road. They're at North Carolina, so take it for what it's worth. It's a 10.5-point spread. Again, I don't know if you want to bet that at all. Virginia's played a ton of one-score games this year, but if they're going to remain in that conversation and put some pressure on Miami to run the table to show up in the ACC championship game, that's what maybe, you know, the Big 12, I think you're right, John. There's nothing that really moves you. Although, again, team near the top of the standings or at the top of the standings in the Big 12, BYU is on the road at Iowa State this weekend. So you've got teams that have held serve to this point at the top of those conferences. The ACC, I still think, could squeeze a second team in if Miami can run the table and then perhaps loses in the ACC championship game. I don't know. I mean, you look at the quality of their wins early in the year. You mentioned the Notre Dame game. Maybe Carson Beck himself hasn't been impressive, but the rest of the roster has, especially that defense, the receiving core you mentioned. So that may be, again, to use some March Madness terminology, a bit of a bid stealer, maybe, if the ACC should get two teams in. Maybe that knocks Notre Dame out if they run the table. But the periphery of the conversation, when we're talking about really the 8, 9, 10 seeds maybe in this college football playoff, it's going to be hard to find a path or an avenue for a second team from either one of these conferences to make the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Louisville would be a team that at least has a chance. But, I mean, that would assume that they handle business the rest of the way. I mean, it's kind of crazy that we're here because, you know, after week one, you would have said for sure Florida State's in this mix. They beat Alabama. They beat the crap out of Alabama. And that's going to go down as like, what in the hell? Like, what happened in that game? Because Alabama's been lights out since with a win over Georgia and Tennessee. And Florida State has been an absolute unmitigated Chernobyl-like disaster. That's just one of those weird ones, man. College football is so nutty. It's like, you know, in the NFL – It happens occasionally where there's like a crazy upset, but like it in college football, yeah. Dude, you're getting four of those a Saturday. Like it is so weird, man.
It is. It's 18-year-old kids mixed with kind of the NFL type game we're playing now, where it's just quarterback driven and the parity and rosters aren't as deep as they used to be. And, you know, that's just the reality. I think if there's going to be a second team out of the ACC, it's going to be Miami. I don't think. You know, if Georgia Tech loses a game, I think they're probably out. That's the reality. They don't have the name recognition. That sucks. That really sucks. That's the reality of it, though.
Right.
You know, go down the street here. Ask TCU. Ask Baylor. What was it? 15 years ago, where they if they had Texas or Oklahoma on their jersey, they would have been in the BCS game. It was BCS at the time. They would have been in there. It matters. The name of your jersey matters. It just does.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at prospective playoff fields right now, like I'll look at Heather Dinich's, for example, from ESPN, and you've got Ole Miss in, you've got Georgia in, you've got Oklahoma, you've got A&M, you've got Bama. So you got five SEC teams, and it feels like, in a way, the I don't want to call it the cannibalization of the SEC, but that's what they're doing. They're all beating up on each other so far this year. Mm-hmm. And that parity that you mentioned, Choppy, I think it's actually helping the SEC in that you're going to have a handful of teams with one or two losses at the top of the conference. And they're probably, I don't think we're going to get what we got last year where South Carolina had an argument. I think you're going to have probably five clear teams at the top of the SEC, and they're all going to get in.
You could have, like, look, the loser of Ole Miss, Oklahoma, if Ole Miss loses this week, they can run the table. Oklahoma's still got to go to – they still got a tough schedule. They've got – I know they have Tennessee. I think they've got, like, three more ranked teams. You could have six or seven – two lost teams in the SEC. Are you gonna keep them out? You can't put them all in, right? They can't all go in. So who's going to get left out? That's going to come down to tiebreakers. Like, what if Vandy loses one more game? You know, they lose one more game. They split. They have two road games left. They go at Texas, at Tennessee. They split them. All right. Let's say they split them and they win their two home games. They're two losses. You know, are you going to keep them out? I mean, someone's going to get left out with two losses in that conference.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear at this point, John, that we're talking about three Big Ten teams. And I mentioned the one-bid leagues, the Big 12 and the ACC. And then you throw your group of five in, maybe Notre Dame if they run the table. And really, all the remaining seats are left for the SEC. You know, the Big Ten or the Big Ten and the SEC want to put forth this proposal, or at least the Big Ten did back in the summer, to guarantee a certain number of seats at the playoff table for each conference. I just don't see why that's necessary. This thing's going to work itself out every year. And some years you're going to be the conference with three. Some years you're going to be the conference with four or five. And that's just the, when you stack up your schedule with nine conference games, and every other week or every week you're playing another ranked team, even if you lose two, maybe three games, it's not a killer to you. It's not a backbreaker, especially in the SEC.
Yeah, of course. They just don't want to have to worry about, oh, is the ACC down this year? They just want, you know, they just want to guarantee. We all want guarantees, right? I mean, right? When you negotiate your contract, you want guarantees, don't you?
I'm lucky if I get a couple extra vacation days, but yeah.
Guarantees are nice.
Flexible time away.
Yes.
Is how they get you. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
So I think that's just all it is. I mean, you know, there are going to be some years where the ACC is not a, you know, I mean, because these schools have money. And so you would think, like, over the course of time, you know, they'll stabilize. So I'm not mad at the Big Ten for wanting guaranteed spots. Nobody wants to have the, you know, best team that didn't make it. This year they are definitely not going to have to worry about that, but I do understand the angle, and they have the stick to, you know, plop on the table, if you will. They're one of two leagues that can do that.
Just throw it right out on the table. Let everybody see it.
Big Ten.
Let everybody
and
admire American. It.
That, those are the two teams.
And the American. There you go. Right.
Let me throw some of those ACC and Big 12 teams out that we said we are somewhat unimpressed with, but still have legitimate shots to make the playoffs. Like Louisville's at plus 350 to make the playoff. Arizona State 4-1. BYU plus 425, even though I cited Heather Dinich's projected field right now, and they'd be in as the Big 12 representative. So if there are teams out there that are in those two conferences with decent numbers as those teams have to make the playoff, is there anybody that you'd be willing to make a bet on at this point, or is it just too much of a crapshoot in both conferences? John.
Oh, I didn't know if that was for me or RJ. Yeah, I would say, you know, I mean, I think if I want to make a, you know, long shot bet, Cincinnati kind of feels like a team that's fun. Like, I don't really know how good they are, but I look up every week and, like, they're scoring points and the quarterback is pretty damn good. He's been there for a couple of years, Sorsby. So it would be a team like Cincinnati probably at 8-1 there to win the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, look, BYU obviously has everything in front of them. They still have to go. They still get two more ranked opponents with Tech and Cincinnati. If they win those and they're undefeated, I mean, they're just going to wind up being in, I think, you know, pretty much regardless. It's three ranked opponents that they would have beaten. You know, Arizona State intrigues me because they were so highly thought of to start the year. The problem is they've got two losses, but, you know, if they could find their way into the Big 12 championship game, I think you can give them just as good a chance as anybody to win that. So if they can find their way in, they need some help. They don't control anything. They don't control their own destiny. But, you know, 4-1 is better than what Tech's giving out right there. So, I mean, BYU at plus 7, I don't know how they're 7-1 when they're leading the whole thing and they're undefeated.
Yeah, that's a weird number to me as well, that BYU, given where they're at right now, is still sitting at that big a number.
They have to go to Lubbock. So that's the only thing I can think of, is that they're just betting again. They're just, you know, they're protecting that. They got to go to Lubbock, but there's no tortillas anymore. They have the tortillas. I mean, you gotta account for that. Yeah.
Dang.
What fun is it if you can't fire tortillas onto the field mid-game? I mean, taking all the fun away from these college kids. I will say Arizona State, Choppy, is a good look, because if they get past Houston this weekend, I mean, yes, a trip to Iowa State next week is certainly worth talking about, but they get a week off, and then I don't want to say they can coast to the finish, but WVU at Colorado and Arizona, they can coast to the finish. So, I mean, Arizona State can – they might be able to secure themselves a playoff spot here if they can win these next 2 weeks, in particular, not just Houston this weekend, but then at Iowa State next week. Iowa State hosts BYU this weekend. We'll see if we have any time to talk about that one. Or Indiana, maybe looking to stomp a mud hole and stop the momentum that UCLA has built. Three massive matchups, though, in the SEC that we have to get to, and we'll do that next right here on BetMGMU.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
No shortage of big games to talk about this weekend here on BetMGMU alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. If we have time, we may touch on UCLA, Indiana. UCLA on Big Noon after ripping off three consecutive wins. Maybe Virginia, North Carolina, because that's big for the Cavaliers to stay atop the ACC. BYU headed to Iowa State. We've mentioned that one as well. But let's focus on these three massive SEC matchups that we have. And it's interesting. SEC teams last year on the back end of playing consecutive conference road games went just 2-6. This year, in that same exact situation, they are 0-3 so far. So you head out on the road, the back end of those consecutive road games can jump up and bite you. And oh, by the way, there are no fewer than five teams in the SEC in that situation this weekend. Tennessee's at Kentucky, who, Choppy, I don't want to mention it, but Kentucky's been frisky a couple times this year at home. Texas, speaking of Kentucky being frisky, is headed to Mississippi State on the road, but the three big ones we want to focus on are the ranked matchups. A&M's at LSU, Ole Miss is at Oklahoma, Missouri is at Vandy. Let's start with Ole Miss and Oklahoma, John. Ole Miss currently still a favorite to make the playoff at -125. Oklahoma 2-1. But John Mateer is back. Ole Miss, they apparently have found their quarterback. They've got the number one offense in the country, second in scoring, haven't allowed a sack in two of their last three games either, but Oklahoma is more than happy to provide a few of those. Number one in FBS in sacks and tackles for loss, and second in the SEC in third down conversion rate defensively, only allowing 25% conversion on third down. So with Ole Miss getting 4.5, 5.5 on the road at Oklahoma, is that enough? Is that just right? What do we feel about this one?
Yeah, I think there will be absolutely no appetite for the average bettor to bet Oklahoma in this spot. Like, who would want to do that? Who would want to fade Ole Miss right now? You know, especially with an Oklahoma team that, yes, took care of South Carolina, but looked absolutely awful against Texas. So I think Ole Miss will, you know, be of interest to a lot of people on game day. But I look at the under here because I do think this is it's the best defense in America in a lot of ways. And I think they are perfectly capable of turning. I mean, you saw kind of what Georgia did at the end of that game on Saturday. Like they gradually wore down that Ole Miss offense. and Oklahoma's defense is just better than Georgia's this year. So I do think it's going to be an ugly game. I don't want to back Oklahoma because I don't love their offense at all, but I do think that they will get stops defensively. So give me the under 53.5 here happily.
I'm on the under as well. I would probably be on Ole Miss if I was going to pick a side on this one. You know, the thing is that Oklahoma has to win this football game. Their schedule is not manageable the rest of the way if they don't win this game. They still have at Tennessee, at Alabama, home to Mizzou, home to LSU. They would have to win out if they don't win this one. Ole Miss, meanwhile, I think Ole Miss has like three games with the Citadel coming up after this one. Like they'll be fine. If they lose this game, they'll be okay. So that's another one of those things where it's like motivation matters in some of these games, and they're both motivated to win. But Oklahoma knows they don't have a parachute coming. Like, Ole Miss got a parachute, and they can let the rest of the league and the rest of the sport kind of cannibalize itself, and they could sneak in the back door to the playoffs. So Oklahoma has to have this game. I just don't think – 5.5 seems like a really weird number. That seems way too much for this.
Yeah, it was 4.5 most of the week, got to 5.5 late in the week. The total, since both of you guys mentioned taking the under, started at, I want to say, 50.5, moved to 52.5, 54.5, and then has settled back to 53.5. So there's some fluctuation in the total market, but I tend to agree under, especially with the Oklahoma defense involved. I'll be honest, I love what we've seen from Trinidad Chambliss. I just keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. And maybe it never does, right? Maybe nothing happens that can cause this kid to, to take a step back. But I think the schedule actually works in a weird way, in the opposite way that you're talking about there, Choppy. Like you said, Ole Miss is looking at this and saying, man, if we just get past Oklahoma, it's South Carolina, the Citadel, Florida, and Mississippi State. We can coast to the finish line, boys. We're in the playoff. I wonder if that creates a little bit of a look ahead in a weird way where, if we could just get past Oklahoma. Whereas Oklahoma knows, hey, we're at home. We need to win this thing. The pressure is on us to keep this up every single week from here on out. You get another week of Mateer maybe shaking off some rust. I actually like Oklahoma. 5.5 might be a bit much for me, though. 4.5, I was uncomfortable with it, but thinking about it, you start to get out to 5.5, it's just a matter of time. We might get to 6 before kickoff, and I'm not laying that. I'm not.
Yeah, let's see what happens on game day. I think you're right. I mean, I think it probably gets to 6 before it gets back to 4. And then you'll just have to, make a decision there. But it's both team season. That's why I really like the under here, because it's going to be a very desperate game for both teams.
Speaking of people's seasons on the line, I don't know if Brian Kelly's season is on the line. That might be done already. Maybe. I don't know. Some people still think LSU can make the playoff. Is his job on the line? I don't know about that either. But they're at home at night in Death Valley, in Baton Rouge. They're 20-1 at home at night, LSU, under Brian Kelly. But here comes the number 3 team in the country, a smashing machine style defense that against this LSU offense. I mean, what's the team total on this? Because I'll take the under, whatever it might be on LSU. Arkansas may have laid a bit of a blueprint for, hey, if you can get some explosive plays against A&M's defense, maybe you got a chance to hang around. I just don't see how LSU generates those explosive big plays. They're 84th in the country, John, in yards per game. 366 yards a game. A&M's defense is stifling at times. If it's only 2.5, I'll happily lay 2.5 with A&M, even on the road in Death Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, again, like, this is where betting is hard, because every logical – I mean, let's use logic here, right? We've watched both teams all year long. Texas A&M is 3 in the country. They have consistent quarterback play. They look great. LSU looks bad. Like, that score last week in Nashville was misleading. It was nowhere near that close. I mean, Vandy got whatever they wanted offensively, and that's supposed to be the strength, right? Defense is supposed to be the strength. Mm-hmm. But I could easily make the case that that was just a Diego Pavia problem. And as good as Marcel Reed is, he ain't Diego Pavia. So I just think this is tough. I mean, it's Saturday night in Death Valley against an A&M team that is flying high. I don't have anything on it, but man, I'd be tempted by LSU money line, and I'll hate myself for the entirety of the game. And then it's one of those bets where it's like if LSU, you bet LSU money line and it loses, you're like, what an idiot. What were you thinking? Of course it was going to lose. If it wins, you're like, you feel like a smart guy, but that feeling's never, it doesn't compare. Like betting a side that you feel like makes you look smart versus when it loses and how stupid you feel is always way worse, if that makes sense. So I would be LSU money line or nothing, as crazy as all that sounds.
I'll tell you, I'm struggling with A&M in this one because they do have a stifling defense in College Station. They're allowing 41 points a game on the road. 40 to Notre Dame, 42 to Arkansas. I kind of like the over in this one. I'm still a Garrett Nussmeier truther. I am still a truther on that one. That's the right term, right? Yeah. I'm sure. Still in on Garrett. I like Nuss. Brian Kelly, I mean, he's an offensive guy, is he not? Is this what he's doing? I think that was a Pavia issue as well. With LSU last week, I think the over here plays. A&L will be able to score on them. They're a good enough offense. You only need one team. You need one team to get to 30. I mean, A&M's allowing 41 on the road. So I think the over, actually, and I would probably lean on the LSU money line. I wouldn't touch the point spread here either way.
Interesting. Yeah, A&M's got a chance to really assert themselves as the tops in the SEC with a win here on the road in Death Valley. And again, laying less than a field goal, I think I'm in on the Aggies. As for the third big SEC-ranked matchup on Saturday, it'll be an afternoon game in Nashville, 2:30 kick local time, 3:30 Eastern. First time College Game Day has been in Nashville in about 17 years. First time Vanderbilt has been ranked in the top 10 in, 78 years, something crazy like that, 1947. But here's Vandy with Diego Pavia against Missouri at home, laying 2.5. You're talking about the 8th and 12th scoring offenses in the country, respectively. They're averaging a total of 80 points per game between the two. And we've got a total sitting in the low 50s, John. Is that too obvious, or do we think this thing somehow stays under?
Yeah, I mean, I think Vandy is capable of putting up points. I think the look I like better is just Vandy outright, minus 2.5. I mean, this is easy. I don't really understand this. I guess it's just one of those I'll pay to see it. This team's awesome. I wondered like how they would handle the moment last week against LSU, being favored for the first time against a ranked team. And then you're right. They handled it. They handled it like really, really well. Like they dominated that game. So I don't think they're going to be worried about this Missouri team. And I don't think they're a team that's going to like get fat and happy either. Like I think they want more. And I think they know that this is an opportunity to continue their, telling their story and continue to climb the ranks and show the world that Vandy football is moving different in 2025. So I'm on the Pavia party, brother. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm on Vandy on this one. Plus, I got to root for him. For the sake of my Vols, I need to get Missouri out of there. We got Vandy at home. Take care of business. We'll be fine. So I got to look at it for that. But I like the over. I like Vandy minus 2.5. It's a good football team. They're not just Diego Pavia either. They've done a really nice job. I mean, they're improving their stadium. They're doing a lot of construction there. They're trying to make it, not look like a glorified high school stadium. They've done a really nice job of that. So I'm all in on Vandy this week. I think that they're gonna continue to roll. That's a good team. And Clark Lee is gonna be. I mean, he's either gonna walk in to his AD's office and demand a raise, or tell him that he's going to Florida. Or wherever.
Yeah. I'm going to be the contrarian here again. I just think, I am because I want to see how Missouri has been a time of possession, hog the ball kind of team all year until they played Alabama, obviously. And I want to see Vandy get off the field on third downs. I want to see them put Missouri behind the sticks in difficult situations so they can't lean on Ahmed Hardy to have another monster game. He's third in the country in rushing. I think if this doesn't turn into a track meet, okay, and look, all indications are it may. I think there's a lot of good points in looking at Vanderbilt and saying, yeah, they can put up points. But if Missouri can grind this thing out, if they can slow this game down, dominate, they don't even have to dominate time of possession, just win it by a minute or two, keep Pavia off the field, don't make any mistakes on offense, don't let Probula do anything stupid with the ball, lean on your run game, and conversely, like I said, stay ahead of the sticks, keep yourself in third and manageable, and I think they bring this thing under and at least keep it a football game. Or a field goal game, excuse me. I don't know if they end up stealing it outright. I'm not betting 115 on the money line on Missouri. If it gets to three, though, I'll be really tempted to bet the Tigers because I want to see I want to see Vandy prove it to me. I do. And that's not – I'm not saying I don't think they can. I think Vandy can prove it, and I think they can continue to roll. I think they can end up in the playoff. They can be one of those five SEC teams that we're talking about. I think it's all still ahead of them and all still possible. But I want to see it in this instance. And I think Missouri can make it really difficult for them. I may be wrong, and Vandy may run away and win this thing 41-34. They've done that. But I'm gonna be the contrarian here and make an argument for Missouri to keep it a field goal game, dominate that time of possession, like I said, lean on Hardy, lean on the run game, let Probula manage things from the quarterback position, and if not steal a win, at least make Vandy really uncomfortable towards the end of this one and maybe have to steal one themselves. There is a team that's red hot in the Big Ten, and nobody expected this, especially with a bunch of interim coaches. Problem is, they got to go visit Coach Google Me now. We talk about the UCLA-Indiana game next and take a look at some national championship odds as well here on BetMGMU.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Live with you every week, coast to coast on the BetMGM Network, alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. This is BetMGMU, always available for you in podcast form wherever you get your audio. Just search for BetMGMU and on YouTube as well on the BetMGM Network. We're going to take a look at those national championship odds you may be seeing on the side of your screen in just a second, give you some of our best bets, maybe a little pizza money parlay from Choppy as well, and we'll see what we got cooked up for this weekend's bets in just a moment. But there is one other game that we wanted to mention, and UCLA has come out of nowhere, guys. You fire your coach, you go 3-0 under the interim, Tim Skipper. They're outscoring opponents in those three games 58-17 in the first half. They're averaging 33-plus minutes time of possession. They're churning it out with Nico at quarterback in the run game. Unfortunately, they're headed to Bloomington to face the Hoosiers, who have a 13-game home winning streak. John, are fourth in this country in scoring and also fourth in the country in scoring defense, allowing less than 12 points per game. The spread on this one, it's big and fat. It's 24.5 points. Are we touching either side here? And just your thoughts on UCLA and whether they can give somebody else a scare on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, let's get physical. Physical. I know that's right up your alley, right? Come on, Chris. A little grease
How
lightning.
How old do you think I am? Damn it.
No, I mean, you're older than me. You know, I mean, and I know
my kids are almost older than you.
Right. So, yeah, let's get physical. Let's get physical right now and let's touch that line. I mean, that's what you asked, right? Well, you touching it? Yeah, we're touching it, man. We're never not touching Cincinnati's friggin' Indiana Hoosiers. This team's awesome. They're legit.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. It's that I genuinely feel like they go out every week like feeling like the world still doesn't believe them. And so they're incentivized to like run the score up. And he does it. He does it. Like I don't know what this number would have to be. I mean, I think there's a lot of narrative at play here too. Like UCLA's coming in feeling real good. You know, they've turned their season around a little bit. You know, Indiana's like, please, man, get out of here. So I think Indiana rolls. I think they win this game, you know, four scores is what I've got for Indiana here.
I have made my last
bet. Abe Lincoln game.
There you go. I have made my last bet against Coach Sig. All right. That doesn't mean I'm going to bet on him, because what Joffrey is doing over there, Neuheisel's kid, looking like a Game of Thrones villain, you know, what he's doing over there is nothing short of amazing. So I got to hand it to them. I am surprised. You know, Nico is still a good player. He was, you know, he was highly talented. He's still got talent. He's huge. He can run. I don't want to touch this one. UCLA is playing freaky weird right now, and that scares the hell out of me. And Indiana is, I mean, they will run it up on anybody. They also, I mean, like, this is one of those weird games that there's no, you know, Illinois, when they played Illinois, they ran it up. But at least there's like, you know, those are two Midwestern states. You got like a little rivalry. There's no rivalry with UCLA. There's no nothing with UCLA. It's a little weird. So I'll stay away from this one. I would probably take the over though. I think the over is the easy one. 53.5. Yeah. That seems pretty low.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean in John's direction on this one, Choppy. They don't need rivalries. It's them against the world still. I mean, Cignetti has baked that mentality into everything they do. And, you know, look, they got a quarterback. They're one of the few teams in the country that has a quarterback, I think, that you can trust. I was not all in, but I'm in now. They've got a quarterback. They can run it up if they want to, and I think they will. I think Indiana is going to blow the doors off UCLA. So I'm not interested in laying 24.5 points with just about anybody, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Indiana absolutely dominate and this little mini dream that UCLA has had for the last few weeks. And just set the table for the last month of the season for them. They still got a trip to Penn State where I think they're going to want to make a statement there. They got a couple opportunities to continue to remind everybody, hey, that we are legit and that they ain't got to Google Coach Cignetti anymore. Before we get to our best bets of the weekend, maybe a pizza money parlay as well, let's talk about updated national championship odds real quick if we can. Ohio State still the clear favorite at +275. Then we've got Bama up there at 6-1. Indiana, who we just got done talking about, at 8-1. Oregon, Texas A&M, that is. Oregon, A&M, and Georgia all at 10-1. Notre Dame at 12-1. Miami at 15-1. Is there anybody on the board right now, John, at the price listed that you like for a current national championship bet if I was holding your feet to the fire and making you place one?
I mean, I guess I would have to say Georgia, just because I know what I'm getting with them for the most part. Like, I know I'm getting a coach that's done it. I know I'm getting a quarterback who seems like he is getting better every week. You know, so at 10-1, I think you could do a lot worse. I mean, Alabama, obviously, like, the time to grab them was 3 weeks ago. At 6-1, you know, I'm probably not there, but I would say at current, Georgia at 10-1. I mean, they beat Tennessee in Tennessee. They just beat Ole Miss, who was as hot as anybody. I mean, they're you know, they probably, to be fair, should have beaten Alabama. I mean, they got cute on a 4th-and-1. You know, should have been an easy conversion. Play that game again. What's it, a pick 'em? So I would say Georgia 10-1 sounds good to me.
Georgia's the easy one. They're a good team. They got They're well coached. I like Oregon too. The Oregon, I think that you know their loss, obviously to Indiana, but you know teams have bad games. You know that doesn't mean that they're gonna. We saw Ohio State. Look at Ohio State last year. Oregon is still supremely talented. So either one of those two, and there's probably some beyond that. You know, beyond Miami that I might take a look at. You know, throw $10 down on a 20 to 25 to 1, something like that, but. You know, from just the guys near the top, I mean, those are the pretty easy ones, Oregon and Georgia.
What do we think about A&M at 10 to 1, real quick? I know we just brought up a bunch of questions about them away from Kyle Field and, you know, whether that rears its ugly head Saturday night in Baton Rouge or not. But really, I mean, they're at Missouri, and they still got a trip to Austin left in the season finale as well. But Texas is, well, they're not what we thought Texas was going to be.
Right.
A&M could be, if you can play defense, you can win a championship. And I think that's still something that's worth talking about. You mentioned Marcel Reed earlier, Choppy. I don't hate A&M at 10 to 1.
You know, I don't either. I think the issue they're going to run into is I don't think they're as good as Alabama. I don't think they're as good as Georgia. I think they would lose to both of those teams on a neutral field. I think there's a lot of teams they would lose to on a neutral field. That we haven't even talked about, like Notre Dame. I'm not a big Notre. I don't think Notre Dame is like this litmus test type game. They beat them, so I'm a little bit skeptical on them still. I mean, they're still A&M. A&M does A&M things. Like they just do that's just what they do. Every year they always let you down. They're just gonna let you down. So I'm always a little skeptical with them. I love the fan base. I love the passion they have. They were always the most SEC of all the Big 12 schools, and that's why they went there first. But I'm just a little skeptical on them. I need to see them win at LSU this week.
John, what do you think of A&M?
I mean, I think they're legit. I mean, I really don't know what their shortcoming is. I think it's just a matter of, like, we've got to see it, you know, on the road elsewhere, but they pass every test. I mean, and this quarterback obviously is a second year starter. And I think Elko is a fantastic coach. So they've passed every test to this point. You know, how difficult those tests have been, you know, is what's up for interpretation, but I mean, they've done what they've been asked to do, and that's why they're number 3 in the country, but it'll get real. And that's when we'll obviously find out exactly what they are.
All right, John, you got a best bet for the weekend before we wrap it up?
I do. We're going to go to Memphis.
Here we go.
You guys like that?
Here we go.
We do. I was just there.
Over 58.5. The quarterback for Memphis is day-to-day. I think he plays, but this is a bet that I think will be good even if he doesn't. Memphis is a team that is a run-predicated offense. So even if they, you know, put their backup quarterback in, they have two guys that it could be. I don't think they're going to change much of what they do. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to have success. And South Florida is going to put up 40. Like, that's just what they do. They score 40 points a game, unless it's against Florida, which is a power – it was an SEC defense, and it's as good as anybody. But if it's, you know, against anybody else, they're going to put up 40. So give me the over. It's 59.5. There's 58s out there as well, 58.5s. I think it'll be good. I think this is like a, you know, 41-27 type game.
All right, Choppy, you got a best bet or a pizza money parlay you want to throw out?
You know, I got a best bet. I'm going to, you know, I like a lot of the bets that we've talked about, but I'm going to throw one we didn't mention. Mississippi State +7 against Texas. They're at home. Arch, he's going back to, I mean, he's an old, you know, they're Ole Miss family for the most part, except the good half that was Tennessee part of the family. But he's going back, Mississippi State. He has the cowbells. He ain't ready for the cowbells. Those annoying cowbells, they never stop. They never stop. It's a place that nobody wants to go to. Starkville, there's no atmosphere there. There's atmosphere, but there's no atmosphere. Like, it's not a sexy spot to go to. That's a trap. That is a trap that they are walking into. +7, Mississippi State.
SEC light. In Starkville. No matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next parlay. Inside the BetMGM app, use that parlay boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay. I'm going to give you one, boys. How about a road warrior parlay? I just talked up how road teams have struggled in some instances in the last few weeks. Hell with it. Virginia's laying 10.5 at North Carolina. The Tar Heels are a disaster. BYU getting 2.5 at Iowa State. Missouri getting their 2.5 at Vandy. And yeah, A&M laying the 2.5 on the road in Baton Rouge. Let's roll it all up into a 13-1 and put a little boost on it as well. Why the hell not? We'll come back and tell you just how well we did or didn't do next week. Alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin, I'm Chris Mack. Thanks for joining us every single week, live coast to coast on the BetMGM Network and on YouTube, the BetMGM Network. Thanks to producer Zach Krull. This has been BetMGMU.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.